Good morning and welcome again to Emmanuel Baptist Church on this. It's wonderful to have to be together in worship. As a way of introduction, my boys, our boys, Sharon and I, our boys, called me Dr. B or Doc from a young age. Part of the reason was it took me 10 years to work on my doctorate, and so I wanted to be called Dr. Dad. It's kind of a joke. But anyway, our family group name in WhatsApp and other things like on Apple is the Family B. And of course, that means B-E-E, and there's usually the little symbol. So today, as you're watching the presentation, look for the B, because that's going to be a theme running through. And I wanted to explain to you where the R2B comes from. So when I was working on one of my seminars, working on your personal mission statement, values, purpose, I was looking at the I am statements of Jesus. And he said, I am. And I was taking those and I was thinking, okay, I am to be. As an effective apprentice follower of Jesus Christ, there are things that I am to be, right? We've been working on these lists, the things not to be, right? I guess I could say to be or not to be. But the things not to be and the things to be. And so then I got to thinking, because we were church planters working in gathering and raising up disciples, and I thought, okay, corporately, we are to be. And I fill in the blank. Holy, just, righteous, loving, right? Kind, mutually submissive. Okay, we'll talk about today. And so thus birthed the idea of R2B, just the R and then the letter, or the number two and then the B. And so over the past few weeks, we've been looking at some really high standards, right? Imitate God. And I think I've asked the question, how do you do that? Right? And we work through that. Or live as people of the light. Live as people of light. These are some high expectations and high standards. Paul's teaching us in chapter 5 of Ephesians to expose the darkness through the light. Expose evil through righteousness. So if you're like me, you might have left some of the services the last few weeks asking, gosh, that sounds beautiful. But how? Or how do I stay thankful, right? Gratitude, we talked about last week, when I'm exhausted, when I'm bombarded with all of the things of life. How do I stay righteous when it's so dark around me? Well, today, in the verses that we're covering, Paul gives us the engine or the means for our Christian life. He moves from the moral map that we've been looking at to spiritual fuel, what we run on. And the metaphorical contrast between dark and light now replaces with wisdom and folly. Okay? Wisdom and folly. So let's take a moment. Close your eyes. Take a breath. Let's ask the Lord for his help. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, breathe on us your breath of life. Transform our mind as we take on the mind of Christ. Lord, you've called us to be people of light and forsake the darkness. To turn from evil and wicked and wrong and repent, turn to rightness and righteousness. And Lord, we ask for wisdom. Father God, pour out your wisdom upon us. Help us to understand the teachings of Jesus and the sayings. And Holy Spirit, once again, we invite you to fill us with your glory your presence, your fire, the rich beauty of the breath of God. Lord, as we take a breath in and we remember every breath is a gift from you, once again, we receive your Holy Spirit anew and afresh today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So some thoughts today. Oh, there we go. There's the first one. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. First thought today is be intentional. Okay, be intentional. This is walking with intentionality or living, going about your life, right? Intentionally. This is verses 16, 17, and 15, 16, and 17. I'll reread these. Thank you, Rocio, for reading them in the ESV. This is the NLT, just to give you a different perspective. We do have these verses up here, thanks to our decoration team. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. This will be the theme over the next weeks. Verse 15, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise, right? Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. This was written 2,000 years ago. Is it not appropriate for today? Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So if you read my weekly word, you'll note that Paul starts with an urgent exhortation here, almost a command. Be careful how you live. In the Greek, it literally reads, take heed you carefully. It's a double. Take heed carefully. These two Greek words give the idea of precision. It's the difference between wandering through a forest and walking on a tightrope. Okay, the two words, blepo, means properly, to see, to be observant, to see something physical with spiritual results. I really like that, right? Sometimes to see something physical with spiritual results, we might have to close our eyes and think spiritually. The second word is akribos, David. I'm trusting in you. It's properly, extremely accurate, very accurate, researched down to the finest detail. Okay, I don't think you can get any more specific than what Paul is saying here. So the first thought, live intentionally. Be careful how you live. What do you intend to do? What are you setting your heart upon? What's the focus of your life? What is the intention of your heart and mind? What do you spend the bulk of your time thinking about? And I want to be very practical at some points today. My phone is sitting right there, and I don't know about you, but every Sunday morning I get a report. On how much time I spent on every little thing, like news. My news one's pretty big. Facebook, Instagram, I don't do those very much. I put a game back on my phone. It's one that is supposed to help me in my older age. So it's connecting colors and dots. So I'm trying to improve myself by playing a game, okay? Keep my mental energy up. But what do you spend the majority of your time doing? What do you spend the majority of your time thinking about? Last week we talked a little bit about intentionality versus just letting life happen. I think this is what Paul is saying when he says live intentionally. Another way of putting this is redeeming the time. Paul tells us to make the most of every opportunity, right? Not just letting life slide by or issues come and go as they happen to us. Why? Because the days are evil. We're surrounded and we're bombarded with information, with really too much. So we really must be intentional. In a world that defines darkness and folly, wisdom is our ability to see a God-given moment before it passes by. Okay? I got up this morning, walked into the living room. We're on the fifth floor, fourth in Spain, right? But I looked out the window, and there was that beautiful moon, kind of a half moon, just in a gorgeous sky, maybe some little clouds on the horizon. And I just said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this moment, right? I took the moment to stop and see something of beauty and say, thank you, Lord, for that. So the reset is, if we aren't intentional, we will default to thoughtlessness, right? It's a choice. And actually, if you don't make the choice to be intentional, the choice is already made for you, right? Stuff will just happen. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. This is the definition of wisdom. Wisdom is understanding what the Lord wants you to do. How do you gain wisdom? You pray for it, you ask for it, you seek it, and you ask, Jesus, what do you want me to do in this moment, in this circumstance, in this opportunity? So, how are your New Year's resolutions going? What is this? It's May 10th. Oh, by the way, this is our oldest son's 29th birthday today. So, John Mark turned 29 today. I've told you that 1 year ago, we moved into a new apartment building, wonderful place in Barajas, love it. Downstairs, there's a fitness center. And I have been intending to get into shape. Now, I don't know if, you know, you notice anything. I'm not looking for any affirmation or, you know. So I don't say any of this with pride, because I want to make a point. Several points, actually. If you intend to get in shape, you will, right? And it's a grind, people, right? I mean, it's hard. You know, sweat and pain. Oh, I did kettle lifts last week Monday, and I could barely walk. What I want to tell you is I've learned this thing called the elliptical, okay? I don't know if you've ever been on an elliptical machine. It mimics skiing. Cross-country skiing, and I think that's good for you. And by the way, when I started a year ago, I tried the rowing machine. I couldn't row 2 minutes. I couldn't do a pull-up, okay? And I won't tell you the number I'm doing now, but I'm up to an hour on the bike and then the elliptical. I have to be careful with the rowing machine because of my back. But anyway, it wasn't but a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so, that when you step on this elliptical thing, it just starts moving because it's gravity driven, and you got these bars, and what was really hard is you can't pick up your feet, and that's what I wanted to do. But I also realized just a couple of months ago that, I don't know why it took me a year, there's a wheel back there, and it can go this way, or it can go that way. And I was just stepping on, and sometimes it felt good, sometimes it felt really awkward. I couldn't figure out why. And then one day it occurred to me, I'm right-footed. So if I make the right foot go and I'm going this way, it's good. And I can do that for a long time, right? I get really good exercise doing that. But if I do it the other way, it just throws me off. So you see, even in the little things like a machine that you intend to get fit on, you really have to be careful of what you do, the way you do it, and how you do it. So, turning back to Christ, right? How do you set your mind on Christ? One thing that I think is a really good, touched on it last week, good opportunity for us. This is taken from St. Patrick's breastplate. It's a long prayer, and this is just a part of it. But it's what I referenced last week, and I want to encourage you to think about this, okay? Christ with me, Christ before me. Christ behind me. As I was walking from the bus out on Arturo Osorio praying to this building today, I prayed that Christ would be before us, that Christ would be behind us, on our right and our left, above and below us, that Christ would surround this building. And I called forth the angel armies to protect us and to let no evil presence be with us. Right? So, the point is keeping Christ before you all the time. Right? And that takes practice. It's just like the machine. You got to learn how to do it. And sometimes you fail, sometimes you succeed. That's okay. Right? If you want to be spiritually fit, you're going to have to work out. Right? You're going to have to do the stuff that we're going to talk about this summer as we do the Summer of Psalms and see them through the eyes of Jesus. We're going to talk about a lot of these things. But having Christ before you, seeking him, choosing Jesus over something else, right? What happens when temptation hits? And we are all tempted a lot of the time. I don't want to say all the time, but a lot, right? What is your default? What is your go-to when, boom, it hits? Jesus, catch my heart. Jesus, take my eyes. Jesus, capture my mind. Bring me back into relationship with you. I call on you, Christ, right? Okay, second thought. Here it is. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul says, in a comparison, don't be drunk with wine. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the comparison, what is this comparison? Why did Paul compare wine to the Holy Spirit? Because both involve influence and control. When someone is drunk with alcohol or maybe another substance, it changes how they walk, it changes how they talk, and how they make decisions. Now, I want to put a note in here. This is not a universal ban against the use of alcohol. I grew up in that tradition where lots of things were against the rules, right? And we never touched alcohol growing up. But it is a warning from Paul. He's not saying don't drink. He's saying don't make a substance, and wine being the obvious, or beer, don't make a substance what you trust in. Don't be filling your life with this thing, right, that leads to evil, right? Especially if you abuse it. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Make Christ and his Spirit the intentionality. Drunkenness was far too common in the ancient world, and it might be the same for us today. So he's quoting from the idea of Proverbs 23, 29, and 30. Listen to this. Who has anguish? Who has always complaining? Who has unnecessary bruises and bloodshot eyes? It's the one who spends long hours in the tavern trying out new drinks. Written about 3,000 years ago, right? He adds drunkenness also to his list of vices in Galatians 5 that we've talked about before. Those are the things we want to avoid before the list of the fruit of the Spirit, right? The evidence of the Spirit. So these things are evidence of focusing on the wrong thing. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of focusing on the good things, the right things. So here's the command. Paul is saying, let the Holy Spirit, the one, be the one who alters your walk and alters your talk, right? It's about influence. It's about surrendering and submitting to the right thing as opposed to the wrong thing. Now, the grammar here is very important, as is most of the time. The original Greek reads, be filled in the present continuous. What does that mean? It literally means keep on being filled. Consistently be filled. And this rules out any once and for all reception of the Spirit, but points to a continuous replenishment, right? Continue being filled. And the verb is also passive. Let yourselves be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not something that you and I can control or manipulate. This is very important. The Christian life is one of surrender and submission to the Holy Spirit. So this is key. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive his Spirit, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit of Father God. You are adopted and given a new name and a new spirit. You have no need for a second feeling or a second salvation experience. Listen to what Jesus said in John 10, 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from my Father's hands. The Father and I are one. The point is, what or who is controlling your life? To what or whom do you turn to when the stresses of life hit? Is it a substance or is it the spirit? Third thought, that's the last one. Be permeated with worship and gratitude. Following on what we talked about last week, you cannot be stressed and grateful at the same time, right? Verse 19, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, three evidences. They're up there. How do you know if you are actually under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Paul doesn't list goosebumps here or ecstatic visions. He lists four. There are only three there because the bonus is on the next slide. He lists four practical community-focused signs. These are the signs, the evidence, in part. First is community worship. What are we doing here today? We're singing psalms and hymns. The Spirit connects the body, his bride of Christ. A Spirit-filled person wants to encourage others. Right? We smile, we shake hands, we say, how are you doing today? We give hugs and the kisses, right? We're the body, the bride of Christ. We want good for the other. That's the definition of love, intending good for the other person. I speak Jesus over you. Second, internal worship, making music to the Lord in your heart. I could ask you, what's the song of your heart? I have a different one daily, if not moment by moment. The Spirit changes our soundtrack. Even when the world is noisy, there's a melody of grace playing in your heart when you are in touch with the Holy Spirit, when Christ is before you, when you are experiencing God's work in your life. There's a sense of calm and trust, even in the storm, right? And then constant gratitude. Give thanks for everything. In everything, give thanks, right? As another version reads it. This is possibly the hardest one. As we've been discussing, gratitude is the light switch that turns on the light of God in our lives. The Spirit gives you the power to see God's hand even in the things that hurt, right? In everything, give thanks. Yes, give thanks for everything. Be grateful for no matter what's happening in your life. It may be the thing that causes you to turn back to Christ, right? Even if it's painful, even if it's difficult. So here's the bonus material. And this we will unpack next week, okay? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is mutual submission, and we're going to do a whole message next week about it. The ultimate sign of the Holy Spirit's work in your life is that you don't have to be the boss. You may not have to have the last word. you may not have to have your opinion understood or accepted by another. You can serve because Jesus is your king, and he set the standard for serving, right? He surrendered to the Father's will and submitted himself even unto death, and he practically showed it to us by washing his disciples' feet, taking the lowest servant's place, but even more than that, when he hung on the cross and died for you and me. So, to whom are you submitting out of reverence? Another word we could use is worship. Who are you submitting to out of reverence or worship for the Lord? And then another way of saying it, how are you submitting to Christ by submitting to another person? How are you submitting to Christ by submitting to another person? So in conclusion, I put all of the challenge and the actions on the last two slides. As I shared this week, a verse from James 4:8, come close to God and he will come close to you. Being filled with the Spirit is not about getting more of God in you. It's about giving more of you to God. Right? Jesus, come into the places in my heart, my life, where I may not have surrendered fully to you. Let the light of your kingdom show me what I need to surrender and submit to. It's about God and our intentional surrender of our heart and our mind and our will. And that means our actions. The stuff we do. So the challenge is this week, are you being intentional? Living cautiously, making the most of every opportunity and understanding what the Lord wants you to do. If not, ask. Ask the Lord. Listen, my sheep hear my voice. Read his word and look around you. There are people who can help you, right? We were never intended to do this alone. Are you setting your mind on Christ? Are you keeping Christ before you in everything? Or are you just letting life pass you by? Right? I'll get through this eventually. No. Two, what is the controlling center of your life? What are you filled with today? Is it stress? Is it the news? Is it your desire for control? Empty those out. Ask the Holy Spirit to take the wheel, to take control. Claim, you are my boss. I surrender and I submit to you. Three, are you being permeated, saturated, continuously, constantly filled with praise and gratitude? Are you continually singing hymns and songs of praise to the Lord? And are you practicing mutual submission one to another as an act of worship? Let's be intentional, continually filled and saturated with the Holy Spirit, letting these be evident. So, action plans. These are short. This week, intentionally take a pause and redirect your mind to Christ, right? Set your mind on Christ. Ask Jesus what he wants you to do in the specific situation. Yes, you can ask the general, Jesus, what do you want me to do? But it's really good to say, in this situation, Lord, what would you do? What do you want me to do? Second, do a control-centered assessment. Who or what is filling your heart and mind or your life? If it's anything other than God, surrender, repent, apologize, and turn back to Christ. Lord, I give you everything and everyone right? Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you in the Pause app. And then the third thing is make a gratitude list. This is a good thing for us to do on occasion. Use your phone, make a physical list in your journal. Write down the things for which you are grateful. You might be surprised how many things actually end up on your list. And then use that as a prayer prompt. Thank the Lord for each of these things. Okay? Let's stand for our prayer and our responsive song. Father, we have so much to be grateful for. We woke up this morning. Maybe our body didn't hurt as much as it did before. You provided something to drink and maybe something to eat. You gave us sunshine and rain. And Lord, we're grateful for both. You gave us our family, and we can celebrate the special occasions like Mother's Day and Father's Day and birthdays and even partings. And Lord, you gave us, we're so grateful for the body of Christ, for brothers and sisters with whom we are standing right now, singing your praises, lifting up our voices in psalms and hymns, saying you are God. And we love you, we worship you, we honor you. You are the King of Kings, you are the Lord of Lords, and we are your children. Keep Christ before us continually this week. We pray, trusting in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.